you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, John boy, how's the weather?
John Morosi.
JP can provide some clarity as to what went on. JP.
Bob, I will do my best.
Columnist for MLB.com.
Morosi. Where is Jeff Passan in all of this?
Here's John Morosi.
Where is Jeff Passan?
Should we just call Jeff Passan right now?
Yes, just call him.
Fox Sports baseball contributor.
JP Morosi had it first. How you feeling, Padres fans?
MLB Network insider.
Although you look at the Cubs, they've been at or near the bottom of the NL Central for a while, and you consider where they're at the moment, I would mention two names right now, Jameson Taillon and Nico Hoerner.
John Morosi.
I'm so happy, I can't lie to you, it's the best moment of my life. All the fans who are here supporting me, it means the world.
With Parkinson Spiegel.
Sources confirm that's fun.
On 670 The Score.
Our national baseball insider and friend, John Morosi, with us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. What up, JP?
Doing great, my friends. I'm even joining you here on Twitch because I'm going to be in Chicago this week. I'm very excited about it. Well, we've got the showcase game on Wednesday, so I get a chance to visit Wrigley and see the Cubs in person for the first time all season.
Well, you're timing it beautifully. They're playing a great brand of baseball.
Yeah, can you explain to us why you're excited about such things?
Well, first of all, as we all know, there is no better place to be for the 4th of July in that week than Wrigley Field. So that's number one. I love visiting your great city all the time, but especially around the 4th. I've got a lot of great memories of being there and covering games at Wrigley around the 4th. So that's the reason. Now, the current quality of both of your local nines, it's not exactly 2016, but still gives us plenty to talk about, right?
Hey, hold on, John. The White Sox, they won a series, okay? They defeated the Colorado Rockies. The 12 series before that, they hadn't won any. They were 0-11-1 in the 12 series before that. But now is a good moment. But all right,
they're building.
Yeah.
They're building.
All right, we'll get to them. we'll get to them. We heard a reference there in the open that if the Cubs are indeed going to pivot to Sellers, you mentioned Jameson Taillon, who has plenty of money left on his deal, $18 million this year, $18 million next year, $18 million in 26. And you mentioned our guy, Nico Hoerner, who's got $11.5 million this year and next year, and then $12 million in 2026. Really, they would consider trading Nico Hoerner?
So here's the point I was making on the air this morning. That of course, was from MLB Central on MLB Network today. The Cubs, when you look at this club right now, have they played well enough for anyone to be totally off limits? And the answer to that for me is no. And I'll be cautious in how I describe this. I don't think that they are going to go into a full rebuild, but what they need to do is be really honest about where they're at. They're in last place in the National League Central right now. And so if you're not able to be competitive right now with a number of guys making big salaries, including, and I would say anybody who's making more than $10 million to be in that range, including Hoerner, including Taillon, including Bellinger. You could put Ian Happ in that conversation. Certainly Seiya. To me, basically anybody, I would say everybody should be available to varying degrees, with the possible exception of Imanaga, who starts our game on Wednesday, and I'm really excited to watch him pitch in person. But aside from Shota, I'm not sure that the Cubs can say that anybody is fully and completely off limits, and that would include the names I just mentioned. Now, I would say because of what Horner brings to them, Gold Glove defense, a lot of energy, that the price tag on him is going to be exceptionally high, and it should be. Tyone would make, I believe, more than $18 million per year if he were a free agent today, which is always the rubric I use to say, does this person have value? And if he's going to make more than what his contract is worth right now, then he has value in the marketplace. I believe for that reason that Tyone does. I think even though Bellinger just signed a deal, not having a great year, but think back to how many teams had varying degrees of interest in him this past offseason. So my general thesis here, and we'll see how it plays out in the days ahead, I don't think the Cubs have played well enough for them to say that anybody is off limits, with the possible exception of Imanaga.
Have they already engaged in trade conversations with Nico Horner, though?
So right now, I'll say this, that they are at this point, now that July has begun, from what I can tell from sources right now, they are taking incoming inquiries right now, where they are at least signaling to other teams that if not imminently, that at some point in the weeks ahead, they will be interested and open to trade negotiations of a selling posture. I don't have it confirmed and clear that it's already happened, Danny, at this moment in time, but they are signaling to teams that, okay, we've seen 3 months of baseball. We're in last place. We at least have to acknowledge to teams that they are open to those inquiries.
Now, so the internet's saying that John Morosi says that the Cubs and Mariners are talking about trading Nico Horner. That's bad aggregation, or what happened there?
Well, I would say I believe that what I said during that interview was that the Cubs and Mariners may have some mutual areas of interest there, and that he makes sense as a fit. I did not say that they were already negotiating a trade. That's probably two and two equaling nine on that one. But I do think, and I did make this point on the show, the Mariners need help at second base. Horner is the West Coast guy. He's on an affordable deal. The Mariners have, I think, a lot of intriguing prospects that teams like, including a catcher in Harry Ford that has a lot of interest in him around the industry. So I would just make the point that there are some overlapping areas of need and interest there. And I do believe that if Horner is fully available at some point, the Mariners will be among the teams that call on him. But I do not have evidence right now that it's already happened.
Well, Harry Ford is a really interesting prospect. We could do a whole segment on that. But let's stay with what the Cubs' mindset might be, as we're with John Morosi here on Parkins and Spiegel. If they're just getting rid of, expiring deals and, like, the obvious things, then they're still going to have a problematic roster, because this roster is problematic, JP. It's, we're talking a lot about the team building aspect here, and I don't think they can find somebody to take Ian Happ's $21 million next year and $19 million after that. Seiya Suzuki's $19 and $19 million the next 2 years. Like, they don't have any superstars on this team. Do they have to get rid of some decent salaried players like Tyone or Horner or Hap Suzuki, things like that, so they can try to build the team differently in the next couple of years?
Yes, Speaks, that's exactly what they have to do. And I think that what I would advise, not that they're going to ask my opinion, but what I would suggest based on the way that the industry has worked, go back to last year's trade deadline and what the Mets did with Scherzer and Verlander. To be able to get good prospects coming back, what did they do? They had to eat a bunch of money. And so I think this is where if the Cubs are serious about getting the best talent back, they're going to have to say to some teams, do you have interest in Ian Happ? Do you have interest in Tyone? Do you have interest in Bellinger? And if the team says, yeah, I do, but not at that price. And then the Cubs will say, okay, what's your price? Because if we've got to pay down this salary to make it worth your while, we'll do it. Otherwise, to your point, Speaks, they don't have, and I would still say that Tyone at 2 years times 18 is a very manageable contract for a pitcher who takes the ball and is a good leader and is a dependable member of your rotation, who probably for a good team, for the Baltimore Orioles, let's say, could start game three or game four of a postseason series. I do think he's that good. And Baltimore certainly is among the teams looking at adding pitching help right now. But if you are serious about bringing in top 100 type prospects, and if you don't have slam dunk, obvious, great players to move right now, then you better be prepared to eat some money. And I think that's the case on Bellinger, on a number of names that we're talking about. Hap, for sure, would fit in that conversation. Talkman, probably not, because I think his number is more manageable. But I think I would caution against saying this is a total rebuild. What they need to do is they need to move some players that give you more flexibility, that bring in some youth, and refresh the roster, especially in the National League Central of 2024. Quote-unquote full rebuilds are not necessary, because if you just have a better season next year with some of the same guys, you're right back in the playoff race. You do not need – the Reds don't need to do that. They don't need to go to full rebuild. I do think the Reds should consider moving Jonathan India because he's playing well right now and they've already got a logjam. Use this moment in time to alleviate the logjam. And just as importantly, guys, get Christopher Morel a position to play that's not third base, because that's not working either. So let this trade deadline be a moment of reflection and repositioning. Not rebuild, but move some of the players around your own lineup and then move some guys out to create some space and bring in some youth, because clearly this mix of players is not ready to win at any point in 2024.
Quickly, before we talk White Sox, what position would you imagine is their idealized version of Christopher Morel?
Wow, that's a great question. I would think first, maybe DH. I mean, it's not third. I mean, you can still – I think there's still probably a spot you could have him play in the outfield. But
well, right, that's what I was saying. Like, if they move Hap, is he a left field candidate all of a sudden?
Correct. So that's where – that's where the Hap or Bellinger trade is not just that value. It's how does moving one of those two contracts get you a better and more relaxed version of Morel? Because maybe if he's not as stressed out defensively, his offense picks up. And lastly, to swing around to something that Speaks mentioned about Harry Ford, the reason why I mentioned him with Seattle is I think Cal Raleigh is probably their catcher of the long-term future, like really valuable guy. And so if that means that Ford is available, he's exactly the kind of guy that the Cubs or any number of selling ball clubs should be calling about.
Look, as long as you brought it up, I've heard about makeup concerns with Harry Ford. John, have you?
Nope, I have not. I mean, okay. I was around him a lot in the World Baseball Classic.
Yep.
I see no red flags there. I think he's got a chance to be a very, very good catcher. Now, maybe you know, he may not be a clear-cut, definite, obvious catcher in the long, maybe you move him around. He's a good athlete, but I think he's an outstanding young prospect.
Okay.
We're talking to John Morosi here, Parkins and Spiegel on the Score. We should say that there is some pretty big news in the world of hockey. Stan Bowman and Joel Quenneville have been reinstated by the NHL. Yeah, so we can react to that news coming up here in a little bit. Odd thing to drop in the middle of a report with John Morosi, but he's a hockey guy. He understands the significance of that. Eligible to seek employment, I think, in the next 10 days or so. I'll have the details for you all coming up here in a minute.
Wow.
On the White Sox side of town, JP, there have been kind of conflicting reports out there, so I will start the line of questioning by asking it this way. More likely that Garrett Crochet is a member of the White Sox or another team in August?
I will still say that it's more likely that he's a member of the White Sox right now, just because, yes, there's obviously some interest out there via trade, and I've certainly seen and acknowledged the reports about the Dodgers. But here's the dilemma. If you're the Dodgers or anybody else, he's got this potential innings limit coming up. And where the White Sox themselves, so they're going to be careful with his workload. So if you're the Dodgers and you're saying, wait a minute, I need someone that's going to be available to me through the end of October, and you're trading me a guy that you're worried about if he's going to be able to hit 140 innings this season, you're the Dodgers. You need somebody that you believe can pitch for you in November, let alone August. And so that's why if this may sound counterintuitive, every day, this is like the opposite of what is true for most guys. Every day that we get closer to the trade deadline is, in my view, a day that we get further away from a possible Crochet trade. If you're going to make this trade, it needs to happen, if not imminently, then I would say probably before the All-Star break, because otherwise, you're every week that melts away from the calendar is a week of his pitching that you're probably not going to have. Because at the end of the day, if we're hearing about all these innings limits, I would rather have someone who I know is available. You know, Jack Flaherty in Detroit does not have the upside or the control of Crochet, but I'm pretty sure that he's going to be able to pitch for me in October. And that I think is why I would say it's better than 50-50 that Crochet is still on the south side when the season is over.
Wow, but that's not from the White Sox perspective indicative of a willingness to remove him. So that we're trying to figure out how willing they are to remove their own first round pick who is showing himself to be a very mature ace as a pitcher when healthy.
Well, what I would say is when you're as bad as the White Sox are being candid, everybody has the price here. And while certainly you've got a lot more time left on his deal than what the White Sox had with Dylan Cease at the time that they traded him in spring training, it was at Sox Fest, right? He's our opening day starter. He wasn't. So I think that when you're where the White Sox are and Chris Getz's situation, you can't say anybody's totally off limits. You can't. And I think that when the calls come in, you need to be open-minded and listen. But I will say this, to trade two guys that you have some element of control over in the span of several months with both Cease and Crochet is asking a lot. I think it's a more logical play that you would keep Crochet and then look to trade Luis Robert, even though I'm still a little skeptical just based on injury track record. He's batting 205. I know there's power there, but I just think that we're at a time in the game where teams that are good have enough players with low batting averages and high strikeout rates like Luis Robert. This may sound counterintuitive. If a team's already good, I would want to make the trade like the Luis Arraez trade that was made earlier that the Padres made to bring in someone that's just great bat to ball. I'm not necessarily saying that we're all going back to the future in the 1980s, but most good lineups have guys that perform like Luis Robert Jr. and not enough guys that get key hits and put the ball in play in key spots. Those are the kind of guys, in my estimation, who are going to have greater value, like the Yandy Diazes of the world at this year's trade deadline. I think that is more of the unique skill set than what Luis Robert Jr. brings.
Okay, that's interesting. Do you think Jed Hoyer's on the hot seat?
It's a great question. I think that I have not. No one has said to me, John, watch for him as a possible guy to get fired. I've not heard that. But it is very difficult to look at this Cubs team with all the money they've spent in the last couple of years. You go out and make a huge managerial splash with the idea that you're going to be right there in the race for a postseason berth. And then it goes this badly, this quickly. It is, I'll just say this, it's hard to find many teams for whom more has gone wrong in the last 3 months than the Chicago Cubs.
Is there any effect on Craig Counsell's reputation with Pat Murphy and the Brewers rolling? He's a manager of the year candidate. And with the Cubs being what they are around the league, any effect on Craig?
No. I think that this is more of a Cubs front office produced problem than a Craig Counsell produced problem at this moment in time. Craig, I think, is regarded as one of the best tactical managers in the sport. He's also known for having big second halves. So I think that certainly was a big part of his formula in Milwaukee, the way that he often made the playoffs. But I think reputationally, if we're being honest, I think it's been much more of a negative on the front office than it's been on Craig Counsell. Just looking at the personnel, this was a team that was expected to compete. And the Imanaga signing has certainly been great. Obviously, less so the last couple outings, maybe, but I think still that was a very good expenditure. But the rest of the moves, Bellinger certainly has been a below average player so far. There's This has been a, for me, much more on the front office than it's been on Craig Counsell, in my opinion.
John Morosi, MLB Network. Good stuff, man. Don't know if we'll get to see you, but enjoy Wrigley on Wednesday and talk to you soon.
Sounds great. I promise to depart with many great trade rumors on both teams by the time I leave Chicago this week, all right?
All right. Let us know of anything else. We'd always have you right back on.
Sounds great, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, all right. JP.
There he is.
He's right about this city in this particular week. This city all summer.
Yeah, it's a great summer city.
It's an unbelievable summer city.
I mean, it's the best city in the world all the time, but summer in particular.
Spring's good.
And the traffic, it's making me question some of it. I live on the Kennedy. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Just putting up residency there.
Well, you know, does that have its own zip code? Just send me mail.
I go through a different. Yeah, I don't need mail. I get it all on my phone anyway.
That's true.
Pay bills online.
That's true.
Screw the mail. When's the last time you got a piece of good news in the mail?
Oh boy, it's so rare.
It's real rare.
And now the credit offers are really sneaky about using like the handwriting
font.
Yeah,
they make it look like it's real. It's, oh my God, I got a letter.
F you.
Yeah.
Preying on our emotions.
Very frustrating.
It's like a kick to the spiritual.
No, it's not that bad. Well, we got baseball to react to from Morosi, and certainly that Joe Quenneville and Stan Bowman news is massive as well. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
We can erase it from the FCC.
Afternoons on the score.
Well, I didn't know. I'll stick with that.
So Joel Quenneville and Stan Bowman and Al McIsaac have been reinstated. They can seek employment in the NHL. They cannot take a job until July 10th.
Oh, those poor guys have to wait 9 more days.
Yeah, so there is a there's a statement that has been released, and people can check that out. Read all the particular details if they want. You know, this doesn't really surprise me. They've been kind of making the rounds. We know that Joel Quenneville has. I believe in rehabilitation as a thing, as a concept. But, of course, that does not mean that I would hire any of these men. You know, like it's one thing to say you're allowed to be hired. It's another thing for the Edmonton Oilers to hire Stan Bowman to run their team. Like, I wouldn't hire him. I think it's reasonable to say, like, could the NHL have said lifetime ban for your failure to protect Kyle Beach? Of course, and I would have supported it. But if they have gone through everything that was set up by the league to rehabilitate their get reinstated, I can live with that. I just couldn't imagine any of these people being worth it to hire.
I understand where you're coming from.
Again, if the rule would have been lifetime ban, fine. But since it isn't, and they've checked whatever boxes they've checked, I'd love to know how Kyle Beach feels about it. I'd love to know if they've actually apologized to him directly. But I generally speaking believe in rehabilitation. I just could not imagine saying a hockey coach is so important that I have to hire Joel Quenneville. I can't imagine it.
I generally speaking certainly believe in rehabilitation. But as a leader, to be entrusted with leadership again after what they did, Hell no. I think this absolutely should have been a lifetime ban. I don't think Joel Quenneville can be trusted to lead a team again. I don't think Stan Bowman can be trusted to be on top of an organizational power, you know, power structure. And maybe he won't. And maybe Quenneville won't be in a leadership position again. But it's one thing what they allowed to happen and the way that they just kind of kicked the news around and did their version of just kind of, you know, closing their eyes to the possibilities and hoping for the best. It's another that Brad Aldrich was allowed to go on and have another job and assault a minor somewhere else.
Well, he should be, you know, under the jail.
He should be, but their willingness to be a part of a recommendation letter that allowed for that,
yes,
it's just freaking disgusting. So I certainly would not hire, if I were running a league, if I were the commissioner of a league, I would not allow them back in it at all. So I'm very disappointed by this decision.
See, the thing, I think that though should have been years ago, right? Because they clearly did not do lifetime ban, and they've, so like, you know, then okay, fine, lifetime ban, but they've said there is all of these things for reinstatement. And so once it went down that path, this news is not that surprising. The surprising headline to me will be if they get hired.
Yeah, I'm with you on the lack of surprise. I'm disappointed. I think it's the wrong thing. And I'm trying to think back to when you and I dealt with the Quenneville interview that he did as part of his rehabilitation tour.
Yeah.
And
I mean, he played a lot of the, you know, I didn't know it. Maybe I should have known more.
Mm-hmm.
If I take any accountability, it's for not asking more questions. You know, I was told something and then I never asked about it again. Like he kind of played the, I was ignorant, but my fault was in not, I should not have allowed myself to be ignorant. That was kind of the tact that he took as I remember it.
I remember firmly coming out of that conversation with you and I after having listened to all of it and kind of dealt with it and really diving in. I remember firmly coming out of that thinking, I can't have that guy in a room leading young men.
Right,
but
I think you said that he could be a scout or something,
sure,
right?
So, and maybe that's what it'll be.
So that's what I'm saying. I guess that's kind of my point. Like, we knew that they were allowing this to happen.
But there's no proviso in that statement about leadership and about being in charge.
No, of course. No,
there's nothing like that.
They're going to say that if Edmonton wants to hire Stan Bowman to run their hockey team,
they're going
to allow him to do it. And if the Rangers want to hire Stan Bowman to be their coach, they're going to allow
Joel Quenneville, yeah.
Yeah, Joel Quenneville, excuse me. They're going to allow them to do that.
Yeah. So allowing the, you know, individual teams to make that choice, you know,
yeah, that's what they're doing.
I wouldn't do that. I, if I'm bringing them back in, I would want to have some sort of proviso that they're not to be in a position of leadership.
Yeah, again, I wouldn't have done this, but it would have been 2 years ago. It would have been because, okay, fine, lifetime ban.
Mm.
We're not saying that you're going to prison. We can't make you go to prison, but it's a privilege to work in the National Hockey League, so you're not going to work in the National Hockey League. But the moment they said that this wasn't a lifetime ban and there was a path forward to reinstatement and these guys want to work again,
yeah,
this part almost felt inevitable.
News dump? In the middle of a frenzy of NHL free agency?
Of course.
Everybody's waiting for a Steven Stamkos deal. That's what I thought you were about to announce in the middle of John Morosi, you know?
No, I would not have broken in for a player transaction move.
Unless it was the Blackhawks and Steven Stamkos.
Then I probably would.
You probably would have broken in for that one.
I probably would.
I know you're not updating us on the Teuvo Teravainen signing or the Alec Martinez signing.
No, this is, you know, clear NHL worlds. News dump, which is right in line with how the NHL has done business on this and everything else.
Way to go!
Yeah.
They've shown their colors.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
why I'd rather talk about the debates. So, no, I wouldn't. Still wouldn't.
Yeah. So,
yesterday for a little while.
Did it, and we can talk more about the crochet stuff later, but just to follow up. Because you are very firm that you want them to not trade Garrett Crochet.
I do not want them to trade Garrett Crochet.
But Nightingale said that they're in talks to trade Garrett Crochet. And then JP said, better than 50-50, that he is not traded. And Nightingale, and again, we'll do more at length on it a little bit later. But, yeah. Like, that make you feel a little bit better? Morosi, because he wasn't that firm on it. He was just like, better than 50-50.
Yeah, and he was doing that from the buyer's perspective. I think it actually fits nicely with the Nightingale thing, because I think the Nightingale thing, because remember, Bob is very connected, extremely connected, and everything has to be taken by understanding that it comes from essentially the desk of Jerry. When you read Bob, it is coming from the desk of Jerry. There was a time there where it might have been the desk of Jerry or it might have been the desk of Kenny. Now I think there's no Kenny, so it's pretty clearly the desk of Jerry when Bob has it. So,
and we know he doesn't want to pay pitchers.
He sure as hell doesn't want to pay pitchers, and he sure wants to make it seem like pitchers want too much money and that players want too much money, and we know that that's how he feels, and he giggles at the idea of Ohtani because of all of his financial thoughts. So I think
we're not going to be in any Ohtani race. I'll tell you that right now.
It is funny because he's one of the greatest players of all time, and you're a professional organization. Oh, God.
I mean, in fairness, it seems like no one else was in the Ohtani race other than the Dodgers. Teams at least tried.
Yeah.
They pretended to try, right?
Toronto thought they were in it.
Yeah.
No, it's true. It's true. But I thought the Nightingale stuff was Sox trying to get the bidding up to some kind of stratospheric place. And JP told you the why in terms of why the bidding isn't where they'd even consider it.
Baseball coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. That's T-Mobile.com/switch. Greg Braggs joins us to tell us about a hell of a scary situation in Milwaukee over the weekend. Next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
The legend Bill Curtis. Bill. A tremendous honor for you to be on the Parkinson Spiegel Show on The Score.
I'd want to be nowhere else but here.
Afternoons on The Score.
Look at the lady with the big glasses.
In Milwaukee, 11 people were injured when an escalator malfunctioned in American Family Field following yesterday afternoon's game between the Cubs and the Brewers. In a statement, the Brewers said a downward escalator from the terrace to the lodge level malfunctioned and sped up. Five of the injured were treated at the scene, while six others were taken to area hospitals. Their conditions have not been released, but the Brewers said their injuries were not life-threatening.
Greg Braggs, Braggs in the Stands, the CHGO Bears podcast star, was one of the people on the escalator at American Century Field in Milwaukee. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Also, from social media, it sounds like Braggs sustained some pretty serious injuries. Thanks for being on the show. How you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling about as good as I can be. I mean, like I said before, I honestly feel lucky that I'm not hurt worse. I did sustain a knee injury and still trying to figure out the extent of that. But ultimately, just looking back on it, it could have been much worse. So I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful that my family wasn't with me, my mom or my wife or my daughter. You know, in that, just thinking of that is giving me some solace that they weren't involved in this.
We wanted to talk to somebody who was on that thing about just how terrifying that must have been. And lo and behold, we find that there's media folks who can actually speak. So, hey, we know you can talk, Braggs. Let's call you and talk about it. Because, like, that's terrifying to think about. We've all been in a massive crowd of humanity leaving a sporting event. Does the whole thing shake? What did it feel like at the time? When did you know that you were in trouble?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's like that's part of why I have no issue talking about this. Like, hey, we're a sports outlet and we're at a sporting event where something like this happens. And I think everybody that listens to our show and listens to your show, like, we've all experienced leaving a stadium and everybody's trying to get out at the same time. And you know, we all see that push to the stairs or the elevator or the ramps. And so that's essentially what happened. We start making our way to the escalator and there's just a lot of hundreds and hundreds of people trying to get out at the same time.
But there always is. We all, what made this different? Was anything different about this?
Well, I guess what's unique about this is this escalator, like a lot of stadium escalators, is much longer. It's not like a mall escalator. It's twice as long and twice as steep as that. So you get on it and You know, to me, like, you know, if you go to the United Center, you'll have somebody at the top of the escalator saying, okay, this many people at a time, now wait, the next people come on. I'm not an escalator expert and operator, so the cause of
why... Shane, can you book us an escalator
get him
expert?
Off.
Jesus.
Get him off the air.
We thought you were an escalator expert.
Just a simpleton, former bricklayer, so right. It's not made of bricks. I don't know what it is.
All right,
At the same time, like, common sense to me says... There was way too many people on it. You know, was that the source of the malfunction? Maybe, maybe not. But I'll never get on another escalator with that many people on it again in my life.
See,
that's
the thing. Like, I'm terrified of the next time I'm standing at the top of an escalator that's long like that. And I'm thinking, I remember what happened because I don't even know what you do. Like, what is the move when you're on the escalator and it's starting to malfunction, it's starting to go fast? Do you think about jumping off to a side? Can you even do that? What do you do?
Right. Right. And so to your point, we get about halfway down the slope and the whole thing shakes and makes a noise. And everybody at the same time had an audible gasp, like the same way you would if you're on an elevator and it shakes and everybody's like, oh. And the next moment right after that, it just let loose and took off like a roller coaster. It was essentially that. And so, no, it's not like at the airport where you have a downward escalator and an upwards one right next to each other, and there's a platform in the middle. If you jump off to the left or right side, you're going to fall to the floor beneath you. So there's nowhere to jump. You are just at the mercy of this thing, you know, steamrolling downhill. And so because I was halfway up, I'm seeing people piling on top of each other, and I know we're next. And there was an elderly lady right in front of me that was about the same age and height and size as my mom. And I was concerned about barreling her over as we fell over. And so I'm just trying to time it as best I can as we get to the bottom to make sure I don't hurt her. I'm trying to help her. I'm trying to help myself. And so I tripped over her and fell into the pile, turned around to grab her. And as I turned around, that's when three people, it's hard to say how many, just barreled right into my leg. And, you know, it was, you know, it just took me out like a football tackle, you know. And so, yeah, you know, like I said, I'm lucky my leg wasn't broken. I know other people did have broken bones. And, you know, so then once it came to a stop and everybody's at the bottom of this pile and there's no more people to be launched down, now the screaming starts. And that's really, to me, what was the scariest part, because we all thought somebody died. And so we're all now, even though there's a lot of people hurt, we're all trying to pull people off the pile and get to the bottom. And there was two elderly ladies that were on the escalator, and one of them took the worst of it, being at the very bottom of this pile. Like, once everybody was pulled off, you could see the shock on her face, and she's got blood all over her. It was just such a nasty scene and a chaotic scene. And luckily, no one died. That's, you know, it was a very unfortunate and unlucky moment we were all in, but we are all lucky that it wasn't worse than it was, as bad as it was.
Greg Braggs from CHGO is our guest. He was on the escalator at Cubs Brewers that malfunctioned, ended up with a knee injury of some sort. A bunch of people ended up in the hospital. Are you guys suing?
You know, we're just, you know, 2 days into this process. So for me, I don't, you know, I can't speak for our company, but like for me personally, I'm still in the early stages of the process of just figuring out what's wrong with my leg. And so I haven't even taken any kind of steps in that regard, obviously. So I you know, it's just so early in the process that I can't even speak to it.
Have you or anybody you know been approached by the Brewers themselves?
Yeah, the Brewers did call me yesterday. So they had a few words with me and basically a checkup, and they were there on the scene when it happened. There was EMS and firefighters and people that worked at the stadium that were there for the whole thing, kind of taking our names down and seeing how we were, took us into the medical room. So, you know, at the end of the day, I don't really, you know, like, I feel bad for even those people that are involved, because nobody wants this to happen. Nobody wants to be involved in this situation. So certainly not trying to make a bad guy out of anybody, but at the end of the day, you know, something, you know, malfunctioned, and, you know, that's not, when you go to a game, you have an expectation that you'll be safe when you enter and when you leave. And that's not what happened this time. And that's life at the end of the day. I understand that. So, you know, just trying to keep, you know, a proper perspective to everything. But at the same time, you know, we all have to do what's right for ourselves and our families.
Hey, Greg, glad you're okay and glad that nobody died. And thanks for hopping on because, yeah, all of the listeners can understand and relate to that moment, and it freaks everybody out. Thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. Next time, it's got to be on better circumstances where we're talking about a 10-game winning streak for the Bears, baby. Come on now.
Hey, we got a game in a month. We got a Hall of Fame game in a month. It'll be here soon.
Let's go. Can't wait. We'll see you guys.
All right.
Thanks, Greg.
That's Greg Braggs from CHGO. Yeah, that does not sound fun.
No, it does not. seriously.
That sucks.
Well, the next time I have an opportunity leaving a ballpark or a concert, and I'm looking at a especially long escalator going down, I'm going to have big-time second thoughts, maybe take the stairs instead. A texter says he works for the Rockies, and something like this happened years ago, that they no longer now have the escalators going down at the end of games. That's interesting. Like, I wonder what might change coming out of this other than, you know, added terror for the fans.
Added to the list of things that we need to have anxiety about.
Exactly. Thank you. I didn't know we had escalator terror on the list, but we do. I wonder what else might change, you know?
I'm just thinking, you know, Cubs finally get a win over the Brewers here. We got ramps. We got concrete that falls at our stadium, but you know we don't have malfunctioning escalators.
Yeah,
it's not good.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't, because I was thinking about it. Like, I guess if you're up in the United Center, you're using escalators.
Coming down
Sox Park, I usually escalators going up, but I'm usually ramp going down.
Yeah, I'm almost always ramp going down
Do they do the escalator going down at Sox games? I feel like I've always done the ramp at Sox games going out of the state. I don't know that I've ever done escalator down at a Sox game.
You know, at Wrigley, when you get off the L there at Addison, that escalator is always turned off. I don't know if that's a down escalator that's just turned off. I've never seen it turned on. It might be...
Oh, at the L station, you're saying? Yeah.
Maybe that's an up escalator that's just turned off for the moment. But like those long escalators, I just had it out in L.A. when me and the Roopster went to Fox
thinking about what you would do in that spot if I'm walking with Owen and Eli, a 4 and a 2-year-old.
Horrifying.
What do you do? You just grab them and
pray
and jump at the bottom and try to shield their fall or them getting crushed behind. Like, do you try to shield them like going forward or like the people that would come behind them? You know what I mean? Yeah, just a terrible spot.
Just a terrible spot. And I would assume that there is going to be a lawsuit pending. I would assume so.
Mm. But yeah, escalators. I'm more of a stair guy anyway. Get the steps in
on the way down.
Just in general. Like I don't find myself. I mean, you know,
my knees are not friendly when it comes to stairs. I can do a ramp. I'll do a ramp up all day long.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Like, I generally speaking will be a stair guy, but also I go wherever it's less crowded. I don't like the. I don't like to be boxed in on things. So that'd be my choice. But yeah, man.
I got to tell you, I first pictured the escalator as like, oh, and then all the stairs flattened down and it just became like a, you know, just like a flat. Like, that's what I pictured happening.
No. See, I pictured like it's normally going 3 miles an hour and now it's going 60 miles an hour.
Right. And it's still,
which I think
this,
is what happened.
I think so. And it's still, yeah. It's still in the stairs.
Why would it flatten?
I don't know. Just okay. Telling you what I saw.
All right, my bad.
In my mind,
stop,
I pictured it flattening down and looking like, I don't know, like an electric razor on the edge. Or
you have
the
very
angle.
Vivid. This really scared you. This is a very vivid imagination.
It freaked me out.
There was jaws at the bottom. It's all of a sudden, it turned into lava. It was really weird.
My Uncle Sully was down there.
Yeah, I'm like, what?
He's been dead for 40 years.
Unbelievable.
Gee, you fat. Want some candy? What are you doing here, Sully? Get out of here.
Yeah, I think it stays an escalator.
Yeah.
It just goes really, really
fast. That probably makes sense.
I think it stays an escalator.
I pictured that and I'm like, no, that's wrong. And then I tried to picture something else and I'm still having trouble. See, you're just saying like it's just, all of a sudden it's just going fast and it's a staircase going fast now?
I think it's a staircase going really, really fast.
Man.
And so
boy. That escalated quickly.
It did.
That's what happened.
It did.
Was an escalated quickly.
Can you believe my Uncle Sully was there?
Which is surprising.
Yeah.
Why is he taunting you?
He always did.
In those ways.
It was about himself. He had his own issues.
Oh, well, that's very mature of you to have come to that realization.
Trying to cut Sully a break retroactively.
Good for you. Is this a disaster or a sign of hope for the Bulls? It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.